In the 21st century, your home is a symphony of energy. Digital devices, battery backup, EV charging, and you've got the power. With help from Schneider Home, think about automated energy control. Why do your appliances need a connected system? Well, because your energy use is streamlined, managing power and charging off-peak to optimize your savings and use, which is good for the planet and our wallets. It's like double savings from your friends at Schneider Home. Design your system at SchneiderHome.com today. You've got the power.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, Swenson Children's Foundation.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness. Join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the airwaves the CEO of Save America Now PAC and your host for Turning California Red, Steve Austin. Join Steve along with his co-host Kelly Hansen Monday through Wednesday at 2 p.m. for a powerful conservative talk show. They'll tackle today's hot topics, current events, and feature special guests dedicated to restoring America's values. In a time when freedom, personal responsibility, and the Constitution are under attack, Steve and Kelly are here to fight back. Together, we can help turn California red again. Tune in and be part of the movement.
Well, it's springtime here in the United States, California in particular, and we have another exciting program today, Kelly, that I think folks will enjoy. Before we get into talking about our guest, a couple of interesting things came to mind this week. An article in the Wall Street Journal had kind of a shocking headline, not page one, but said wind solar power overtakes coal. Wind and solar power overtake the use of coal. Now, in total, if you combine wind and solar, it's about 17% of the production. So 83% of our production still comes from other sources that are not in that category. But interesting, coal only generates about 15% of the nation's electric power. But, you know, there's some shifts going on, and I think as long as the market doesn't force us into certain numbers, like the Biden administration said, you know, you've got to be X percent by 2030 or whatever, I think that's fine. Let the market dictate how much wind and how much solar and how much, renewable energy you want versus coal and nuclear and whatever. So interesting topic. The other thing that really caught my attention, you know, I sit on a lot of boards and committees, and one of them is an endowment fund that was in the process of changing its money managers. Decent-sized fund in the $5 to $10 million range. And one of the things I look for are money managers who have are not woke, who actually have, you know, kind of their head screwed on straight. Because it does affect your selection of underlying investments that you put your endowment funds into. So I sit on it's a Christian organization, and And they made a change in money managers after about 10 years. And they were, we had a very strong Christian manager from a large multi-billion dollar firm pitch for the service. And then we had somebody from one of the big banks. First name starts with Morgan. And so it went back and forth and back and forth. And I kept talking to folks. I said, if you look at their CEO's policy, they're completely tied up in climate change, ESG, diversity, DEI. And if you look at the underlying principles behind that, you'll find that a lot of that's very left-wing. But, oh, no, the committee said this is the trend, and I got outvoted, barely. But yeah, I did a goal line stand, but they still got the selection. And today now, that bank is on the front page of the Wall Street Journal revising its DEI perspective and backing away for so much of that. In fact, it caused a lot of problems in the bank.
Yeah.
And then every year, public companies have to publish what's called a Form 10-K, which many times is converted into a glossy annual report. And that's business I've done for many years in terms of drafting financials that go into the 10-K. The 10-K has a lot of parts to it, and there's a lot of securities lawyers that have to be involved in drafting them. But the auditors kind of own the financial statement section. So very familiar with that. But now their annual reports hardly mention DEI. So 2 years ago, you just couldn't hear enough of it. All
right.
The big four accounting firms, all drinking the Kool-Aid, DEI this and climate change that, and you know ESG this, and that's the way to think, and blah, blah, blah. Everybody just, you know, cookie-cutter robots talking about these topics. And
Steve, this should really scare us. I mean, the transition was too quick, in my opinion. All of a sudden, we just give it all up. We throw it all out the door. And I don't really hear anybody screaming about it. So it kind of scares me.
A lot of it goes back to the underlying notion that this stuff was solid thinking and it wasn't. In fact, as people start investing in climate change, DEI, ESG kinds of products, they start noting, including some of the heads of some of the big investment banking firms, money management firms, you know, that really the returns weren't all that great because the fundamental underlying philosophy behind this, just like, you know, electric cars and whatnot, that really doesn't make sense.
Well, and just like our regular special guest would say, Bill Shishko, sounds like it was a little debased.
Yes, it is debased. And so I hate to do this with this committee, but occasionally I will send, and actually the head of the committee is one of your friends, I will send a little article about this around to the committee and just forward it, no comment, and just forward it. And it's kind of my way of saying, I told you so.
Yeah, look at this. Even they know now.
Yeah,
and you guys wouldn't go.
Every once in a while, they will kind of say, I guess old Steve was right about some of this stuff. I tend to be. Go ahead.
You tend to be right. Come on, you tend to be right. Well, I got to tell you a little interesting fun fact. When I was, I don't know, maybe 15 and a half, and I was about to get my first job, I opened an account, and guess where my first account and still my bank account is at? It was called WaMu back then.
Oh,
Washington
my goodness.
Mutual, turned Chase, turned JP Morgan.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So I miss my WaMu. I like calling my bank WaMu, but now it's JP Morgan. So
it was based out of Seattle. That's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I opened my first bank account in Carlsbad, California. And I've been with them ever since. So, I mean, I do have other accounts like our business and things with other banks, but just my original account has always been with WaMu, Chase, JP Morgan. So I'm glad that they are changing their thoughts on DEI. So that aligns with me, at least one of their clients.
I think in a year from now, you're going to have to explain to people what the acronym, what DEI stands for, because they will say, I don't even know what you're talking about, Kelly.
Yeah, and then when you tell them what it is, they're going to think, yeah, what?
It was all the rage, you know.
Wait. People were not hired on merit?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. I pray that we're going to be talking about it then. So, well, let's talk a little bit about this Department of Education. What?
Well,
you know, we talked a little with Bill Shishko.
Mm-hmm.
In one of our past series here or episodes. And what are your thoughts?
So Ron DeSantis did an op-ed a couple days ago in the Wall Street Journal. The title is, "It's Past Time to Abolish the U.S. Department of Education." And the opening paragraph, of course, from Tallahassee, says, "President Trump's election represented a mandate for change." Good point. "This change includes putting American excellence back at the forefront of education and educational policies and ridding ourselves of bureaucratic handcuffs that stifle success." And it's embarrassing, I think, to this country when you look at our ratings with students compared to other countries. I mean, we're not even in the top 10 anymore.
Right.
I think we might be in the top 20, depends on how you rate them. But pretty disgusting. And in California, if you look at the counties, there's a few counties that are doing okay. But the majority of them are well below average, well below the national averages on math and reading. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to say that the system's broken.
Yeah.
And so going in and cleansing the Department of Education, and they've got just the person to do that. She's she's head of the worldwide wrestling world, but I'm sure she's had long discussions with Trump, and basically we're going to gut this thing and rebuild it. Now, most of what they're doing is pushing the DOE out to the states, which is where it belongs, and local, reducing a lot of effort. Now, I chair a college. I'm on the board of trustees and chair a college that I've learned a lot from the president, who we've had on the radio before a couple of times. And we've learned a lot such that he's taught me how incredibly complex behind the scenes what it takes to have a college or university. All the accreditation, all the financial considerations and whatnot. But he's seeing already in the process of completing that work that you can't reach people at the Department of Education. And that's probably because they're gone. And a lot of the regulatory stuff
is looking for new jobs.
Is just frozen.
Yeah.
I think we're in for some pretty radical change there with respect to reduction of it. And the biggest problem is the teachers union. The teachers union leadership, at least, has no interest in the kids.
Right.
And their education.
No, they have other interests, I'll tell you that much. But, you know, I'm really hoping, though, that we can pass, you know, we really tried, 4 or 5 years ago to get the school choice passed.
Yep.
And I really think if we're going to be sending the DOE to the states, that's not so great for us, Steve. We are in California.
Well,
so
I mean, I don't know what was worse, the Washington DOE or Sacramento.
Right.
But,
I don't know.
We have a governor now who's suddenly awoken to the fact that there's really only two genders.
There is that. There is that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's
leaps and bounds. He's
made doing podcasts now. And, he's kind of doing a little bit of a 180. I think he's looking out, realizing that, boy, what I've been preaching has been just erroneous.
Yeah.
And
But again, be very fearful of that. Just like we were talking about, the DEI was thrown out. Nobody's complaining about that. Well, all of a sudden, you know, Governor Newsom is whistling a different tune, and we know he's possibly looking to run for president. So now we have a Republican majority. What do you think? He's a politician, and I'm sorry, he is a slimy good one. And so whenever I'm talking to anybody outside of California, I say, you know, whatever happens, take a look to the past. See what he's done to California in his reign, if you will. And let's make sure this man never is over our whole nation. It's going to be, that would be a very, very scary time. But I wanted to ask you, Steve, actually, we didn't get to talk about it. What did you think of his interview with Charlie Kirk?
I didn't see it.
Okay. That was kind of where a lot of that controversy came from, where he was talking to Charlie Kirk about it and, yeah, agreeing that, you know, men shouldn't be in women's sports and that there are two genders. But, you know, he footsied around it a little bit, but he did come to that conclusion. So there's a lot of interesting topics and conversations surrounding that interview. So we will see. We'll see what happens.
It's interesting how the November 5th results have really changed people's frame of mind and around the world things. It just kind of tells you that people are not well-grounded. You know, they kind of blow with the wind, and they don't have the doctrinal strength that they really need. So
that's why I'm loving this new word from Bill Shishko, debased. They are debased.
Well, we got another great guest coming on, one of your folks that you know. And so stay tuned
for guys are going to love her.
Kelly's going to bring on a special guest today. Not a regular special, just a special.
No, just special.
Swenson Children's Foundation started to encourage hope and support so that children can have faith in their futures. As it says in Psalms 127:3, children are a blessing and a gift from our Lord. We see God's hand in every outreach opportunity we have had over these last 10 years to provide a blessing to children and their families in need, and will continue to serve our communities from coast to coast. If you would like to learn more about our foundation, please visit our website, SwensonChildren'sFoundation.com.
Are you looking for a local, top-tier accounting and consulting firm? Look no further than Swenson Advisors. Since 1998, Swenson Advisors has been delivering personalized, customer-focused services with the expertise of a national firm. Our clients, from middle-market public and private companies to high-net-worth individuals, trust us for our responsive, ethical, and innovative approach. Whether you're in technology, real estate, manufacturing, or the nonprofit sector, Swenson Advisors has you covered. Specializing in lease accounting, audit and assurance, tax services, and consulting, Swenson Advisors delivers tailored solutions for your financial success. We're not just another accounting firm. We're your strategic ally, dedicated to innovative solutions and impeccable service. Ranked among the top 25 accounting firms by the San Diego Business Journal and recognized for our integrity and responsiveness, join the countless clients who trust Swenson Advisors for their accounting needs. Visit us at SwensonAdvisors.com today or call us at 619-237-3400. Swenson Advisors, expertise you can trust, solutions you can count on. All right. Well, like you said, Steve, I have an incredible guest with us, and I feel like I have been so blessed in life. As I, you know, became a campaign manager for a running U.S. senator, I was able to travel up and down California and even across this great nation and meet so many patriots. And one of the stops that we made was in Fresno County at a cute little city called Clovis. And we went to this Liberty Lunch and we started talking with the people there. And I had the pleasure of meeting our guest today. But before I bring her on, I want to tell you, I from there, I have gone to other events with her. And Steve, you know, when you meet somebody and you think, this is a servant's heart, this person just, I don't know that she's ever had a thought in her mind where she was trying to gain something for herself. And she's just an incredible human. She loves the Lord. She's very involved politically, but, you know, she just has a heart for Jesus and a heart for people. And so really connected with her. We became great friends. But she's not just an incredible human who loves people. She's getting a lot done for this country and especially for Fresno County. So you guys are going to meet today Patty Cascio. Patty, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you, Kelly, for that wonderful introduction.
Well, it's all true, and I have seen you out there working your buns off at all these different events You know, namely the Liberty Lunch. I know that you are just a Clovis patriot. You're all over the place. But now you are heavily involved in the John Birch Society. So I want to start there, Patty, because I wonder if many people like myself, you know, younger generation, if you will, I'm not that young anymore, really understands what the John Birch Society is. So start us off. How'd you get involved with the John Birch Society? And then a little history about who they are.
Okay, well, actually, can I go back and basically do a background how I got involved with the John Birch Society? Because it basically started with opening my eyes during COVID, all the things that were going on. It was eye-opening, going, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And so I was out and about and meeting like-minded people and conservative groups and got introduced to the Liberty Lunches. And I was like, oh my goodness, these people are my people. They're like-minded. And so I just got hooked. And I give thanks to my friend Molly, who invited me. She's the president of the local CRA, the California Republican Assembly. And then give credit to Terry and Georgia Wild, founders of Liberty Coalition and Liberty Lunch. And just, you know, bringing in a variety of speakers and educating the community. And I started helping coordinate speakers. And then I ended up helping host the meetings as well on a weekly basis for over 3 years. And lots of volunteer work, joining the California Republican Assembly and basically trying to, you know, make our community a better world, help save California, help save the country as far as what was going on, what we were discovering. And the more we looked into things, you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, there's so much out there that we didn't realize when we had our head in the sand. And so, yeah, I've been getting heavily involved with the CRA. They, we vet candidates and endorse candidates, try to get new people or good people in office and bad people out. Then, you know, and coordinating it, helping coordinate events where we had you and Cordy Williams as a speaker, MC at our Central Cal Freedom Fest, May of 23. That was awesome. We had Cash Patel as the head speaker. And little did we know that he was going to be the FBI director under Trump. We were so excited. We were so excited. And to finally see that people started waking up and opening their eyes and start being educated voters and vote, come out and vote. Don't just sit at home and hope somebody else, you know, takes care of, or that we don't have any chance, but we do. We do have, you know, our rights and responsibilities. Basically, it is our responsibility to get out and vote. And we need to, you know, basically keep our government accountable. With all my volunteer work, I came across the John Birch Society and learned that they've been fighting the deep state, exposing the deep state, since 1958. And I read the Robert Welch's Blue Book when he started the organization and named it after John Birch, who was an American hero. And there's also a book called The Life of John Birch. So I recommend anyone out there that want to know more about the John Birch Society and what it's about and how it got started. Two books, The Blue Book by Robert Welch and The Life of John Birch. And they can be found along with many other resources on jbs.org and also shop jbs.org. So how I found out about the John Birch Society at an event where Alex Newman was speaking about, you know, protecting the children from the government schools and promoting homeschooling, which the John Birch Society does have an alternate option from the public government schools that are not indoctrinated. It's called Freedom Project Academy, and you can go to FPE for education, USA.org, and there's three options. There's online. You can do online live with teachers, or you can do online recording so that you can work it in your own schedule, or you can purchase a homeschooling package and teach the kids where the parents are in control. Hmm. Parents' rights are in control. There's no CRT, there's no CSE, there's no gender ideology. And it teaches kids to learn the Constitution. It teaches kids to love their country and provide, you know, a standard education. It teaches them reading, writing, and arithmetic. And it's also faith-based. They have, Christian-based classes as well. And it's all about educating our youth. And like Reagan quoted, you know, freedom is just a generation away from losing it. So mm-hmm. basically with the John Birch Society, the mission is, the mission statement is less government, more responsibility, and with God's help, a better world. So mm-hmm. It's our God-given right to be civically engaged and hold our elected officials accountable. And so we've also got a Constitution course that that we've been teaching, that the John Birch Society has videos on their website. You can take a look at it if you would like more information. I would be happy to help coordinate that. I don't know if I should give out my contact number on the radio or not.
We'll leave that for them to call in, and then we'll put them in touch with you.
Yes,
but
call in
I
to
love
you.
Your passion for that. And, you know, that Thank is something you. About Thank the John you. Birch Society. Everybody that I've met who comes from the John Birch Society is just very passionate about our kids, about our parental rights, about our constitutional freedoms. Let me ask you this, because you mentioned Molly from the CRA, the Liberty Coalition, you know, now you're part of JBS, you know, there's a Tea Party, Lincoln Party. What was the distinction for you? Because I know you were involved and you were meeting all these different groups. What really set it apart where you said, this is the one I believe in, this is the one I want to be a part of?
Well, when I found out what they were all about, I was like, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? Well, they've been around a long time fighting the same fight we have been. And so the ton of resources that they have, it's like all this information that we've been finding out doing, you know, our research going, oh my gosh, you know, going down these rabbit holes, you know, this is going on, that's going on. And we would talk to people and they're going, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. You don't know what you're talking about. Well, John Birch Society, they've been fighting this fight since 1958, and they've been putting it in writing. They have their own private publication, which is The New American. And that comes out every month. And so they're not censored. And so now I can say, look, this is proof of what we've been talking about. I just love that they have books and publications, The New American. They've got all kinds of pamphlet handouts about every issue, like protecting the Second Amendment, the Constitution, all this information. And I was like, I was hooked. I'm like, finally, this is, you know, this
It'll
is proof
around.
Of what we've talking about.
You're listening today to Patty Cassio, who is a well-grounded patriot in the Clovis area of California and has been involved with the California GOP as a delegate. Patty, I'm 73. When about 6 years after the Birch Society was founded, I got involved in it in seventh grade.
Oh, wow.
In seventh grade, 1963. And I got involved because my parents got involved with some Christians in rural Indiana who were members of the Birch Society. And they were also very strong evangelical Christians. And so I've grown up with, for a number of years, they had quite a magazine called American Opinion, and which is, I think, the New American. Robert Welch.
Yeah, it's now the New American.
I heard him speak once. He was actually based out of Indianapolis, and I think tied to the Welch Candy Company, as I recall.
Yes, yes. He was the Welch Candy Company and decided to retire and pursue this mission.
But interestingly enough, Orange County, California, kind of became the mecca for JBS, and they were highly involved in the Goldwater campaign, and they had some very interesting books that they put out and published. One was called "It's Very Simple," which was written by Alan Stang, and it was an exposure of how the communists infiltrated the civil rights movement, including Martin Luther King. And they had another book called "The Politician," which, do you know what that book's about?
Yeah.
Eisenhower. You know, we all kind of revere Eisenhower, but behind the scenes, there were some things with him that, you know, brought up questions in people's minds. And so they were, you know, a very independent thinker, and they were very strong advocates of a book in those days called "None Dare Call It Treason" by John Stormer, who did a great job of exposing the infiltration of the left into everything from Hollywood to media to education and whatnot. And so the Birch Society, interestingly enough, while I was involved in my college years and whatnot, I kind of drifted away from it, I'd say, for 20 or 30 years and hadn't really seen much of, you know, it was a larger organization, you know, years ago than it is today, I think. But, you know, Welch passed away and some of the leadership. They published some great books. They published a series called The 12 Candles. And I don't know if you've seen that, but it's 12 paperback books on all kinds of topics going on in the 60s and 70s. And it's a fascinating set of books to read. So, but the Birch Society has been, you know, kind of the conservative wing of the Republican group. But I would say not many people, Kelly, really know much about it. And, and John Birch was the son of a missionary in China who was killed. And I think they take the position he was the first person killed in World War III.
Hmm. Right, so, right.
Wow.
Now, you were a delegate to the California GOP this last weekend?
I was an associate delegate. I was able to hold a proxy and vote.
So tell us about it.
Okay, well, it was a great turnout. It was a great marketing opportunity for myself and others. You know, everyone wears their delegate badges with their county. So it was a great turnout for California. And I was able to, you know, share information about the John Birch Society. I handed out hundreds of materials and making contacts and starting to build relationships for the John Birch Society. A lot of people were aware of the John Birch Society, and their parents had been members and involved. And so we're, you know, basically trying to keep the John Birch Society going because we, you know, we almost lost the fight for freedom during the last 4 years. And we need to continue to educate the voter so that never happens again. We have to stand up and speak out. As far as, you know, the conference, it was, we had a couple of great speakers. The lunch on Saturday was Riley Gaines. She was absolutely amazing. And she stood up and spoke out for her rights on behalf of all girls involved in sports and speaking out against, you know, transgender boys competing against them, which is not right. And then we also had Tony Gonzalez, who is a congressman out of Texas.
All right.
He spoke at the dinner. Session, and you know, he was talking about the border, et cetera, of what, you know, great things happening under the Trump administration. Thank goodness. So,
yeah. You know, what is amazing to me, and of course, we're 30 minutes from the border as I speak right here,
right.
Is Trump's been in office for less than 60 days, and the thing is pretty much shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And when they say it's under control and closed, I believe them. And you know, when Biden and Mayorkas and others just, you know, would lie and lie and lie, and thank goodness for Fox News.
That's exactly what they did.
They, you know, your eyes when they would shoot scenes of these people coming through, including here later in the 4 year session in San Diego. You know, you just can't somehow block that out. But look at how quickly they moved. And they're now building another 7 miles of the wall and whatnot. But, you know, they had to put, you know, they had to change some rules. They had to get the message out that you're not welcome. They've got to be deporting people. And but I'll tell you, talk about swift action. There's I suspect, you know, by another 6 months from now, the crossings will be down to a handful, and that's because
absolutely. I think we've only released one person that this year that since Trump has taken office, and last year I think don't quote me, but I saw something over, you know, at least over 42,000 people, but I'm sure it was probably more than that. So thank goodness that the people stood up, went out and voted, and voted, you know, with their hearts to basically protect our country, protect our families from being invaded. I mean, we're losing our freedoms and liberties and our property.
You know, and deporting. And, of course, it's just shocking when we have a judge that says, oh, no, you can't deport these criminals that have killed all these people. And it's like, are you nuts? It's just,
right.
You know, it defies logic.
No,
just,
he cannot overrule Trump's directives. So he can say whatever he wants, but it's not going to happen.
Going to be carried out. Yeah. Well, Patty, I have a question for you because I know that this was your first convention that you went to.
Yeah.
And what was your thoughts on just the overall, you know, we're here in California. We're a very, very blue state. Obviously, if you look at the counties, we're not. We're very red. But as far as just the population as a whole, we're seen as a very blue state. When you went to the California GOP, the Republican Party, what was kind of the consensus that you got from the people there? Were you seeing a lot of people who maybe are moderates, independents, or were you seeing conservative Republican delegates, associate delegates, and board members?
Yes, mostly very conservative delegates that want to save our state and turn our state red. when I saw the results of the Trump election, most of California was red. And I think there were some coastal high density populations that were blue. And I think that in 26, we can vote out any Democrat. I believe that this is the year where we can vote in a Republican governor. And a few of them were at the convention. And so I am hopeful and believe we can do it. I believe, you know, everyone there was conservative, and the goal for the GOP is to turn our state red. And there's a lot of outreach to the Hispanic community. We have conservative goals on the Republican Party. It's all about, you know, family and country and freedom and liberties and property.
Absolutely.
And so we have such a huge, you know, Hispanic community, and a lot of them have, you know, grown up being told that they should vote Democrat, that they should register Democrat. But the values of the Democratic Party does not align with conservative values.
Right.
And I believe that with the Hispanic outreach and hopefully some Hispanic media to help educate the Hispanic community to register as Republicans and vote Republican and get a Republican governor and voted in 26, because look what our, you know, the Democratic elected officials and governor has done to our state. They have ruined our state, absolutely ruined our state. And our current governor wants to run for president. And it's our job to warn the entire country, do not vote for that man.
I was just talking about that, Patty. I was saying we need to make sure people remember what he did to this state. And don't let him pretend and start to talk to Charlie Kirk and other podcasters and on his own podcast, try to pretend that he's more in the middle or independent. He is far left liberal, and he definitely has destroyed this state. Now, I'm curious.
Absolutely. And he's currently you know, he's trying to be a sheep in wolf's wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Don't be fooled by his current comments and podcasts, because he's just trying to fool the voter.
Absolutely.
We know in California what he really is.
Yeah, we've lived it. We had to live it out.
We have lived it.
When you were there at the convention, did you guys actually get to hear any of the people running for the board? I know we had a new chair, vice chair, secretary, treasurer, and a few other regional. Were you guys able, were each and every one of you able to hear each of those candidates?
We heard many candidates speak on Saturday. They all had opportunities to speak to the delegates, and then there, it seemed to be, you know, greater support and applause for certain candidates. But then when it came down to the voting on Sunday, the election went the other way.
Really?
Yeah, for chair and vice chair, et cetera. We did get some good wins on grassroots candidates. Like Dak Guerrero.
Yeah.
Dak Guerrero is absolutely amazing. He had the entire delegation roaring his name. He you know, showed his little paddle like the Democrats did at the State of the Union, where on his paddle he was holding up, it said Doge, Audit California. And yeah. I loved it. I loved it. So we were very excited about that win for Jack Guerrero. There was a couple of others that we were able to get those people in, but there were some of the conservative candidates that I was supporting that did not get in. There was some issues about the electronic voting. And I don't know if you want me to bring that up, but basically provides fuel for these candidates to demand paper ballots and hand counting.
And Patty, you and I have talked about this. If we are Republicans asking for paper ballots in California or in the United States for all of these elected officials, why aren't we starting right here at home in our own Republican Party campaigns within our party?
Absolutely. It should start at home because we have, you know, we have local control. That should be where we start with the we do voter ID. We have to provide our IDs, which is great.
And credentials
But there's a lot of people and candidates that don't trust this electronic vote counting system. And there were some issues raised. And
there was only about 1,400 delegates. You would think people, accountant, you would think they could manage 1,400. Now, when it comes to 40 million in California, you can kind of understand how that gets.
Some of the voting for like the vice chairs of the like regional vice chairs, like for Central California vice chair, et cetera, those were done by paper ballots.
And they were hand counted.
One of the problems, you know, I've been in public accounting a long time, and one of the most important days for any company is when they take physical inventory, particularly when you have products and stuff, because that will identify how much inventory and stock you have in the warehouse or on the floor or whatever, with a pretty high degree of accuracy. And your accounting records prior to that time may or may not have tracked the numbers correctly. So the physical inventory is a true-up, is a day when you true up, and it's a very critical day in the life of any business. Well, you know, that's basically a manual process of counting and tags and control sheets. And the problem with these ballots is they just send them out, and the best I can tell, there's no real numerical control. In other words, if there's 1,400 ballots, did we get 1,400 back, or did we get 1,300 back, or did we get 1,700 back? And what's the numerical control? That's all very doable in today's technology, but it's not being done. And as a result, you really don't know, you know, and some could be lost. Some people didn't vote. You know, it's all reconcilable, but you never get that type of election integrity anywhere.
It is all about election integrity.
Yeah. And numerical control is what needs to be done on top of the paper ballots. This has been great. And Patty, tell us a moment. You mentioned you attend the Liberty Lunch. We know Terry. Tell us what those lunches are like.
Yes, well, we coordinate a variety of speakers and various topics, not just political. Since Terry and Georgia had turned over the Liberty Lunches to me, and we're calling it Freedom Lunch now, today we had the speaker was an FBI agent. And our lunches, we do a prayer and flag salute, welcome our guests. We're at a restaurant now where we were able to order our meal and listen to a speaker. And this FBI agent happens to be one of my neighbors, and he retired on Friday. So he was able to speak freely.
Wow.
And he was speaking about the FBI organization before Trump. And now, and you know, before Cash Patel and now. And so there was a lot of questionable things that they were, you know, asked to do under the old administration that they did. A lot of them, you know, were not happy with. And so there's a lot of, you know, conservative, a lot of good FBI agents in the organization. There were some in the higher ups that, you know, were basically given directives that were, that they weren't happy with. But since Trump and Cash Patel have taken over, a lot of those higher ups in D.C. and management, there's about, he said about 1,000 of them, they've been relocated to the field, mm-hmm. to actually work yeah. the field and work cases. So they've been kicked out of their offices and out of management and sent into the field. And he said that the new agents that, you know, have been through training and they're in probation, they're not going to lose their jobs. They're safe. And we're actually, you know, they're being provided proper training and they're not going after parents at school districts.
That's good.
At school board meetings. You know,
Patty, we're just about out of time, but okay. If somebody wanted to attend the Freedom Lunch, how do they do that?
Well, they can, would you like me to give you my phone number?
Oh, no. Or, is there a website?
Actually, we're working on that, but we're currently in Clovis. We are at the Seven Restaurant, which is 25 Shaw Avenue. It is on the corner of Shaw and Manywala in Clovis. We are there every Wednesday from 12 to 1:30.
Okay.
So it is an open door policy. Mm-hmm. And there is no charge. You can walk in and attend for free. But if you would like to, you have the opportunity to order lunch and support that local restaurant.
Well, very good, amazing, Patty. This has been a great, it's good to hear about other parts of California and what you're doing and the John Birch Society and whatnot. So thank you very much. And Kelly, we're wrapping up another program.
Yeah,
so
thanks,
stay tuned
Patty.
For another
great,
one.
Great program. Yep.
Every day, families with a hospitalized child find comfort at our San Diego Ronald McDonald House. Right now, you can help, all while giving yourself a chance to win big. The San Diego Giving Back Raffle is your chance to win an incredible multi-million dollar Carlsbad Beach House, luxury vacations, high-end cars, and so much more. But more importantly, every ticket helps families stay together during life's toughest times. Visit sdraffle.com to get your tickets today. That's sdraffle.com.